welcome to The Deuce.
Episode 13. Lucky number 13.
Is it 13?
It is 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought we were further. I thought we were on 14.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I've lost count. I'm having
you've
fun.
You've lost count. Yes.
Well, I am Jeremy.
Oh, and I'm Brad.
And today...
excited to start a new series of movies.
Yeah.
Patriotic.
Yep.
/ America.
America.
American.
We have another series of three that we're starting here in honor of the upcoming Independence Day holiday. So we'll be starting those. And, of course, our first installment in that is Patriot Games with Harrison Ford and crew.
Yes.
So it's an excellent movie.
You can check it out on Hulu for the next 5 days.
Yeah, apparently it leaves.
Hulu subscriber.
Yeah, apparently it leaves at the end of June.
Yes.
Which is great timing for, the Independence Day holiday. But you can download
it. Well, now with the high quality of television, like The Handmaid's Tale, we got to get rid of stuff.
Yeah, but you can download it. Well, we need more SpongeBob movie on there, apparently.
SpongeBob, yeah.
You can download it in, all your standard fare places, so like Vudu and...
Fandango always is like a dollar more for some reason. I don't know why, but you can rent. You probably rent it for $2.99 or buy it for $4, $9, $10.
Yeah, probably.
So if you have the John Ryan series, Jack Ryan, John. Well, you know him as long as you call him John. You can go ahead, pop that in, watch it, and we'll go from there. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think before we get started with that, we want to tell you about some other really great podcasts. So much to say, but, really, don't take our word for it.
In a world gone mad.
As you know, the Doomsday Clock is a symbolic clock face analogizing humankind's proximity to extinction.
One man must fight to survive on the global junkie of the future.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Which versus the Doomsday Clock is that man's story? His search for entertainment is transmitted across time and space for your listening pleasure on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and your Android device.
This podcast is not fit for human consumption. Side effects include laughter, concern, nausea, vomiting, and bleeding from all orifices. The producers accept no responsibility for any side effects, illness, or internet ranking mine cause. My bank guarantee is worth nothing. Zero, zero, zilch, nada, overall, not a sausage. In short, you get nothing. Nothing. Good day, sir.
Great. Well, great.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we said before, we are going to do Patriot Games to start our patriotic American film series.
You can't see us saluting, but we are.
You can't see me saluting. yes. Patriot Games is a sequel to War Games, correct?
No.
No, it's not.
No, very close, though. It's a sequel to Hunt for Red October. It's the second in
the
Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
It's the second in the Jack Ryan series. It was, of course, originally had Alec Baldwin and I believe Gates McFadden and his wife. They replaced them with...
From Next Generation.
Yep, Star Trek Next Generation. And they replaced them with Harrison Ford and Ann Archer.
Oh, Ann Archer. Yeah, I like Ann Archer. Yeah. She's fine.
Yeah.
So, any other background from this movie that you know?
Well, the books are... So the books are in a different order from the movies. The movies, when they created them, they tried to rearrange them to make them chronologically. So Patriot Games, actually, in the movie series, takes place after the Hunt for Red October.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the books are concerned, Patriot Games comes before the Hunt for Red October. As a matter of fact, I think Tom Clancy was so incensed by how they had to, rearrange things and how they had to, they Hollywooded it up a little bit, too.
Yeah, come on, it's a movie.
He didn't like them touching the scripts, and so he, I think, kind of disavowed this movie, which is a shame.
He just pushed it aside and said no.
Yeah, which is a
shame. He read the first draft.
It would have made me respect Tom Clancy a little bit more. I'm not a big Tom Clancy fan, so...
There you go.
But I think I like this one.
The other fact that's interesting in this movie is you have three actors who eventually were in the Star Wars franchise. You have Harrison Ford,
mm-hmm.
Han Solo. James Earl Jones is in this movie. Who is the voice of Darth Vader. And mm-hmm. Samuel L. Jackson.
It's true.
Well, who's he? Windu.
Mace Windu. Yeah.
Yes. Ha ha. So, yeah. There's
and the director or creator, whatever, his first name is Mace.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Great. Try to one-up me already.
Also, James Earl Jones is another second time
on the deuce.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I think this is the first time for Samuel Jackson. I don't think. Yeah. I don't know why I said that. I'm just saying that. All right. Let's get going and let's deuce Patriot Games.
Deuce it up.
Deuce it up.
Okay. So the movie starts out. And we are basically just going through trees at this point. We're in New England. It is, and it's really playing this very nice,
yes,
like
music
Celtic
by James
theme.
Horner
theme. Yeah, it's a beautiful score.
Beautiful score.
Beautiful. And so we zoom in on the Ryan's coastal home in Maryland.
Beautiful home.
Yeah, beautiful. And right off the waterfront, like on these cliffs,
mm-hmm.
forests all around them.
And we're showing interior shots of the house.
Yeah.
That's kind of foreshadowing for what comes later mm-hmm. on, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Ryan, played by Harrison Ford, is leaving a message with whoever.
Wait, John Ryan. No, Jack I'm just Ryan. Joking.
Jack Ryan, the family's not actually in the home. They, the answering machine goes on, and you see a pile of mail next to it, you know, showing that they haven't been there. They've been away for a while. Mm. And Harrison Ford is leaving this message for whoever is watching their house for them while they've been in London. And it's the normal things, you know, we should be back at this time. We forgot about our daughter's goldfish.
Oh, yeah.
So,
or the daughter. We forgot the daughter was played by Thora Birch.
Yeah. Their daughter Sally,
Ghost
played by Thora Birch. Yes.
Yeah.
American Beauty. We could just randomly name off movies mm-hmm. she's in.
What was the thing? Movie you just yeah. The sitcom Day by Day.
Day by Day.
Day by Day.
Day by Day.
Day by Day. Day by Day.
And so they said, you know, hey, we forgot to tell you about our fish. If they're dead, please replace them. Jack. Kathy Ryan and Sally Ryan are basically playing the British version of Monopoly in their hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we learn that Jack is supposed to be giving some speech the next day, but he is kind of brushing it off to spend some quality time with Kathy.
He says, I'll wing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To spend some quality time with Kathy.
But wait, Thora Birch is wearing this lady, I think it's her pajamas, ladybug kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, she used to be adorable.
Yeah, she used to be.
Jack,
we're just dogging on Thora Birch.
What?
Within like 5 minutes of this podcast, we're like, Thora Birch.
Well, I saw her in The Hole, so.
I'm not going anywhere.
I like that movie.
Really?
Okay. I did, but like, it made me less, I was like, ooh, Thora Birch.
Okay.
I'll have to watch it. Anyway, but Jack is on a speaking tour, mm-hmm. and he's going around and speaking about the changes they've seen occur in Russia.
Mm.
Well, I'm having trouble reading.
Yeah,
occur
wow.
in Russia.
Yeah.
It's on
the other foot now, huh?
It is.
It's you.
Don't get used to it. After the incidents of the Hunt for Red October.
Where is he speaking at in this movie? Hogwarts? That's what it looks like.
It is. In the venerable old halls of some British Naval
Which
Academy.
Which is funny because, well, what's his face? Richard Harris is in this
movie. Yep.
Yep.
Richard Harris, the original Dumbledore. Yep. And then we also see Kathy and Sally are just sightseeing throughout London as well. The normal touristy stuff.
Yeah, they're the soldier. Again, I'm saluting.
Yeah.
Like, Like you can see it. We're gonna salute. The next three episodes, we'll just salute.
This next one is just, we're just going to pantomime the next one. Just assume
have
it's
fun
great.
Listening to that one.
So while they're walking around, we cut over to some Irishmen who are in this car loading their guns. They're getting ready to do something.
I meant like she was that soldier that never talks.
Yeah, the one where he has to guard. Yeah. They just stare straight ahead at Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, at Buckingham Palace. Yeah. They had those head dresses that look like toilet brushes.
The royal water buffalo hat.
Sure.
Things.
If you want to get technical, fine.
What is from those Flintstones?
You want to use correct jargon, go ahead.
It wasn't correct jargon. It was a Flintstones reference.
Oh, it was?
The
water buffalo. Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't even know.
You could just
give me Flintstone references left and right. I'm like, yep, totally, totally legit.
I'm going to do that. See if you can
we
catch
haven't even
the next
got
five.
To like the first scene
I know,
of this,
this
movie.
This is like 2 minutes into Go the ahead. Movie and like 40 minutes into this podcast.
This is a fine movie. I like this movie.
Yeah. So we see Sean Bean playing a character conveniently named Sean.
Yes.
Who is talking to his
younger
brother. I think
his name is Sean O'Bean.
Sean O'Bean. So he's talking to his little brother, and they are loading their guns up, and something's getting ready to go down. As Jack is actually leaving the academy, the Kathy and Sally show up, and Jack sees a car speed up, and these people jump out with ski masks on. And so he's yelling at his family to get down, and then this car blows up. And then the Irish guys jump out. They shoot the men in the car. Jack doesn't know what to do, so he tackles Sean, knocks the gun out of his hand. He grabs the gun, goes to shoot somebody, but somebody shoots him through the shoulder first. He spins around and then shoots that guy, who obviously takes him out.
Right.
Turns out it's Sean's younger brother. He gets killed, and he's like 16 years old. Yeah. He got recruited into it by Sean.
Right.
So. The media connects the attack to the IRA and an attack on the royal family, and an attempt to attack the royal family,
so like,
because it's Lord...
Can I ask a question? Because mm-hmm. I never saw Hunt for Red October.
Yeah. You haven't?
I never saw Hunt for Red October.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I never have. But that was more of the Russians, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and this is more of the IRA kind mm-hmm. of terrorists.
Yeah.
Well, it's a faction of the IRA. It's more like the right. more extreme
right.
version.
Right.
Okay.
So they were trying to take out Lord Holmes, who is the Queen's cousin and who holds like land and dominion over Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
As the news report goes on that they're talking in this, it mentions that it was broken up by Jack Ryan, who is an ex-Marine, shows his picture and everything, and people kind of praise him for his heroism. We see the IRA dragging their dead out of the vehicles, and James Earl Jones, who plays Admiral Greer, watching it on TV in the States.
Yeah.
Kathy, we go to the hospital
now,
where...
Now, is he watching it on CNN?
It was
CNN.
That's
kind of meta.
It was. And they go, what are you watching, Admiral Greer? And he goes, this is CNN.
That was your James Earl Jones impression.
Yeah. Do you hear my voice?
Yeah,
it only goes so deep.
I hear your voice.
I can't do it.
That's good. Do it. Do it.
I can't
keep going.
Go.
No, that was better. That was better. Do it.
What do you mean that was better?
Still better. Go. Yeah, that's perfect. Yes.
That's perfect.
Luke, I'm your father. I'm your father, Luke.
That was almost so rocking. Sorry, James Earl Jones. So Kathy's tending to Jack in the hospital because he had taken the bullet in the shoulder. And really, I mean, why can't they just ever have a nice vacation? It never pans out well for them.
What? Is the first one, like, they're on a vacation?
I don't think so.
I
think
it's just
because he's in the CIA.
It's not like Jessica Fletcher, where she can't have, like, a...
She can't go to a town without murders happening. Damn book tour. The Brits, we cut to them interrogating Sean and wondering how they knew Lord Holmes would be there, because it was like a late planning So how did they know he was going to be there?
Right.
Sean Bean, I don't keep him Sean Bean. Sean is just standing there stoic, not wanting to say anything. And of course, one of the detectives, you know, smacks him around a little bit, but he still says nothing. We cut to Kevin O'Donnell, who's played by Patrick Bergen, in a pub, swearing to another lieutenant in the IRA named Jimmy.
Yeah.
That Sean will not say a thing. Jimmy basically says, hey, it was a dumb move to attack the Royals because now you got attention on us and they're going to come after us with full force. Kevin says, look, we have to go extreme. It's the only way we're going to win this is if we go extreme, like harder than we have before. And are you with us or are you against us? And Jimmy says, yeah, I'm with you. But just so you know, just so you know, Charlie's going to be coming around later to talk to you. He goes, okay. He's like, well, I'll let you get to it because there's this gal at the bar that Jimmy's been eyeballing. He takes off his wedding ring and goes and starts talking to her. Meanwhile, it goes to Kevin, who is watching TV at home now. When and the
this
IRA.
I like this scene where it's kind of like a lot of this movie is it kind of like it builds the tension very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not so slow that you it drives you nuts and you're like, just get on with it. But it's slow enough that it builds it. And then boom, packs a punch.
And the music plays really well into that. Yes. It wasn't like
the James Horner music.
It was like this very like Celtic sweet. Mm-hmm. Like ethereal kind of theme leading
up
to that.
And this is that first kind of slow kind of into the punch that you get. Is this scene where Charlie comes around.
Yeah. And so Charlie comes up and, you know, basically you see him and the other members of the IRA moving in, weapons drawn. And Charlie knocks on the door and tells Kevin to come out. As he's standing there, all of a sudden you just see a blast through the door. So that's the end of Charlie. And then some other shots.
Yeah.
And Kevin took all of them out with what I think is an automatic shotgun, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looked kind of weird. Like, I didn't quite recognize
it. I thought it was an auto shotgun. It was either that or something very large caliber. So it was a pretty cool looking gun. Meanwhile, Jimmy's with that girl he picked up at the pub. You know, they are in the middle of it in the hotel room.
They're in the middle of what?
Sex.
Oh, okay.
In the hotel room. And, she stops and says, oh, I need to get something out of my bag. So she goes over there.
He thinks it's a condom.
Yeah. Which he's begging her not to use and says, you know, the church frowns upon that. The girl turns around and has a silenced pistol.
The same thing as a condom.
Yeah, you know.
It's a magnum.
Yeah. Gets rid of the bang for your... just shoots him in the head. So, and she pulls off her red wig to see this gal who, you know, is now going to be working with them. Her name's Annette.
Ooh,
so.
Yeah.
The police, it comes back, and the police are going through information with Jack Ryan and trying to get him to confirm the identities of the people involved.
Yeah, so he's in the hospital, and the police are kind of talking to him.
Yeah.
He's reading the newspaper. I think he says something about, like, you won't even let... Or no, he wants to read the newspaper, and they won't let him, right?
Yeah.
And he says, I can't even read Doonesbury. And first of all, no one reads Doonesbury.
First off, most people would think you were lucky if you weren't allowed to read Doonesbury. Yeah.
Be grateful that you don't have to read that. What's next? Funky Winkerbean? Come on.
The I wonder if they have Funky Winkerbean in the UK.
I don't know.
Hmm,
with a name like that.
Hmm. Yeah, the Funky Winkerbean just
UK
might
people,
be a person who lives...
It's me, Funky Winkerbean!
Funky Winkerbean. Oops, I said... he said it wrong. Of course I said it wrong.
Of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
Later, Jack meets up with Lord Holmes at court. Sean's getting ready to go on trial, so Jack has to testify.
Right.
And they advise him they're going to give him like a knighthood or something like that. So he'll now be
Sir John
Ryan. So, and this guy, I can never remember his name, who plays Lord Holmes, he was in the The Charlie in the Chocolate Factory movie, he was Veruca Salt's dad.
Oh, he was. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's correct.
Just much older.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this was a high point for him.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
So Jack testifies.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is the most boring episode of Law and Order UK I've ever seen.
I've seen lots of episodes of Law and Order UK. But Jack testifies, and he just gets shredded by this solicitor's like dry British wit. The solicitor, who by the way looks like Michael Stipe in a powdered wig.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes.
At first I went, is that Michael Stipe?
Yeah.
Like, I really thought it was him.
He's on the stand losing his religion.
Yeah. Later he has some night swimming.
I was going to say night swimming, too. I was going
to
go for
night
swimming.
We'll come to the night swimming later. Yeah.
Bang and blame, whatever.
So, basically, we learn, this is the first time they've said it, that Jack is no longer affiliated with the CIA. So him, like, getting involved and taking people out and things, it's frowned upon because he doesn't have those credentials to do
and
that.
The CIA is always full of shiny, happy people. Sorry, I can see you going on.
Holding hands? So at this point, they head back to the U.S. Or, excuse me, Sean basically threatens Jack and says he'll pretty much get his revenge on him. He'll make him pay as he's getting dragged away. So then
you said John. I was like, what?
Sorry, Jack.
Yeah.
But you know, as long as I have.
No, I thought you said, instead of Sean, I thought you said John.
Oh, no, yes.
Yeah.
When they get back to home to the U.S., Kathy tells Jack that she's pregnant. So Sally's not really looking forward to that. She doesn't really want a sister. And Jack says, well, it could be even worse. You could have a brother. To which she replies, ew, boys. Even though
I reply, ooh, Thor Birch.
Yeah, well, we just saw Jason Priestley pics posted all around her room.
We did. There was a lot of Tiger Beat stuff. So
yeah,
like,
so I don't know where the ooh, boys thing came from.
I'm sure there was a Joey Lawrence, whoa, poster.
I'm sure. Him in his like ripped jeans with his like
flannel with, like, leather jacket, but like no shirt underneath.
Leather jacket,
kind of like
flannel
bent down.
Tied around his waist.
Yeah, kind of like bend down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I know exactly what poster you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you loved that poster growing up.
Or like, what was it, a Leif Garrison poster?
How old do you think she is? She has a Scott Baio poster and a Leif Garrison poster.
Scott Baio from Zapped.
Jesus.
So we hear a TV interview while they're at breakfast in which Patty O'Neill, the head of the IRA.
I'm the Patty O'Neills.
Head of the IRA, played by Richard Harris. Says that the IRA was not responsible for the attack and they don't take any responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's part of their credo, is that you take responsibility. So if they didn't, they're not responsible.
Right.
Which seems like a flimsy defense, but whatever. Sean is in his cell staring at newspaper clippings of Jack, just fixating on him. And this is really kind of the beginning of his slow descent into madness throughout this entire movie.
Yeah,
he is obsessed.
And Sean Bean does a fine job.
Does.
I mean,
he does an excellent job in this. I think he's more menacing in this as a villain than he was in like Goldeneye or anything like that.
Okay.
And so yeah, I think he does an excellent job in this, or in the National Treasure movie.
Oh yeah, he was. Oh my God, you're right. The first one, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He does an excellent job here. So we come to Annette in disguise again in her red wig. She is going to a bookstore and asks to have this book looked at. So the guy starts looking at it and he opens it up, and in the pages there's a note asking for the route for Sean's transport to the prison, as well as some armaments and something else. So.
Can I tell you, like, normally, like, this is a very cliche thing. Oh, a hidden book, like, it's a bookstore that hides as a front for something.
Yeah.
But I always fall for it, and I always love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I always go for it.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't, like, It's not like a,
yeah,
okay, now go in the secret, yes, armament room, ooh, behind whatever.
And the bookcase opens up, you go, well, back there.
They, yeah, do that on very like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and shit. Like, yeah, this at least it's is like, Cold he's War. A guy like passing information, yeah, on to contacts. It's, to me, it's a lot better and, yeah, and, yeah, more believable and, yeah, palatable.
Plus, he looks like the guy in the Pringles can.
He does kind of look, yes, like the guy in the Pringles can. So, so the guy says, you know, I don't know if we can get this book fixed for you. Basically, I don't know if I can get this, right, stuff because it's not authorized by the IRA. She kind of threatens him in book analogies. It's, and
I think it was David Copperfield.
And so he lets it go. So they're going to get everything they need. So there's an Irish detective named Inspector Highland who gets on Sean's transport with him and continues to try and get information out of him. He you know, saying like, how, you know, yeah, from one Irishman to another, like, you still won't talk to me, and I'm a fellow Irishman.
I love how like that's a thing, from one Irishman to another.
Yeah, and I honestly, I was like, oh man, Inspector Highland's in on this.
Oh.
But he was not. So,
except Highland Roberts.
Yes.
Derry.
Yep. Yep. So they end up having to stop for a bridge. The drawbridge goes up. And so they're waiting. And I think the inspector at that point kind of understands something's up, because Sean is looking at him now. And the inspector kind of smirks. And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
They blow up all their transports and like support vehicles, and they say to open the door or they will kill the bridge operator. The police are saying, okay, let's do it. We got to try to save him. So they open the door and are immediately shot. They get Inspector Highland out. And, you know, they basically say, you know, how can you turn against your own Irishman, your own fellow Irishman? Kevin frees Sean and gives him the gun, and Sean kills Highland, mm-hmm, shoots him a few times. So I actually thought he was going to be, the first time I saw this, I thought he was going to be around a lot longer.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was a lot of buildup of a character that just got snuffed out real quick.
Yeah, and that kind of happens in these movies.
It does. Sometimes it does. And sometimes it works for me. I think it works for me here.
Yeah, because I don't think there's not a lot of like, how do I want to say, there's more action in this movie than you think, or there's more thrills in this movie than,
yeah,
you think,
yeah,
and like kind of less talky,
yeah,
and so we're not really building character, do you know what I mean? We're more building the plot along, or building the thrill of, mm-hmm, it all,
right?
So that's why I'm like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
you're dead.
So the Ryan
sounds heartless, but
no, you're fine. The Ryans are getting ready to go somewhere when Admiral Greer and, played by James Earl Jones, mm-hmm, and Marty Cantor, who works for the CIA, who's played by J.E. Freeman, show up warning that the IRA cell has rescued Sean, and they say to watch out. We just want to make you aware, like, these guys are nuts, and you killed one of their brothers, yeah, so who knows what's going to happen. So they offer to bring him back into the CIA and provide him additional protection. And he says, nah, I don't want to get back into that life.
Yeah.
Jack tells Kathy that he turned it down. And she says she's glad because she can't live through that again. Last time was stressful enough. She's done with it.
Now, as far as her character in the first movie, like, was it very stressful for her character in the first movie?
I really don't remember her as much in that first one.
Because I'm just wondering why. And this comes from not knowing the kind of the background of these characters.
Well, he was, like, in the first one, he was dragged into a lot of crazy stuff with it. Like, how,
okay,
I mean, out at sea and all, yeah, this kind of stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he came pretty close to the edge last time.
Okay, so I mean, just a worried wife, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we cut to the IRA, who are on some sort of transatlantic ship. They're going to lay low and accomplish their, they're going to lay low and train to accomplish their goals. They can't do that in Ireland anymore since all this has gone down.
Right.
They're going to be looking for them. Sean is still just blindly focused on Jack Ryan. Like, he's out for blood.
Yeah.
Jack goes back to his regular duties of teaching. So he teaches at the Naval Academy.
Right.
Robbie played the his Navy friend
Academy,
Robbie.
Or the Naval?
Naval
Academy. But not Belly Button Academy.
No, not like Belly Button.
Okay.
Naval.
It'd be interesting if Harrison Ford taught belly dancing.
It, like, he doctors who specialize in belly buttons. He's a navalologist.
Right.
Naval doctor. Anyway, Robbie, who is a naval officer, played by Samuel Jackson, is Jack's friend. And he shows up and awards Jack with a medal from the Order of the Purple Target, which is this medal. That looks like a target and says, shoot me on it.
Yeah, it says, next time, duck.
Yeah, next time, duck.
Now, I don't know if this was a director's choice or if, like, Samuel Jackson was like, I like purple, so can we do a purple heart?
Yeah,
because I feel like he just loves purple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does.
So it just was like, oh. Plus, this is a movie where Samuel Jackson is very restrained.
Yeah.
This is very restrained. You know, normally...
Well, this is like really early. Like, it's a lot earlier on and stuff. This reminds me of...
kind of an eve of this movie, kind of.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that. But it's like...
it's like Jurassic Park.
It's 92, so it's around the time of like Jurassic Park and things like that when he played these more subdued roles, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but you forget about that, and you forget how wonderful that kind of that is, too. I don't know why that seems so refreshing to me.
Yeah,
to see him do that.
Well, because we're so used to the...
Even in the Star Wars movies, he's kind of a little bit more subdued and very zen-like. But, you know.
Yeah, we're so used to the over-the-top, and he gets a lot of the screen cred for his over-the-top portrayals.
Right.
So there's a lot of times he does that.
Right.
We forget the more subdued,
I mean, that's dramatic stuff. Him for. Yeah.
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 So Kathy is in the operating room. Operating on a child who had fallen through a plate glass window. She says, hey, this is going to take a while. We might want to bump my next appointment. And then we cut to Sally, who is out of school and waiting for her mom, who is now running late. And we see the IRA watching her. Right. So
the IRA's watching me.
So O'Donnell's cell of the IRA, Kevin O'Donnell's cell of the IRA is watching her. Kathy does show up and picks her up, and they go to follow, but this like 11-year-old crossing guard with a stop sign
just great.
Puts a kibosh on that. She gets in front of them,
stop,
and just like is glaring at them with her little stop sign, and they stop. And of course, Miss Kathy Ryan
with
gets
their
away.
Little like orange beret. Whatever
they're all wearing orange berets.
And like she stopped the IRA.
These blue like overcoat poncho things, like they're adorable.
Yeah.
But they basically...
But, like, it's not a cheesy moment.
No.
It's more like a fun moment.
Yeah, it is.
Which could have turned cheesy, but in this, you know, in any other movie, I felt like it could have.
Yeah.
Well, with this, it kind of works.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did. So, Jack is walking after he leaves the Naval Academy, and he kind of senses something's up. He sees this guy in sweat clothes, and he's... standing in front of him at this newspaper, the paper machine.
Thing. First of all, never trust men in sweatpants.
Yeah.
Never. Not outside.
No.
Never.
And he's just kind of watching him, thinks something suspicious. The guy gets a paper and walks away. And as he's walking, there's a Jeep across the way that revs its engine once. Jack notices that too, but keeps on walking. And as he goes by this van that has its doors open, he can see that the guy in the sweat clothes has turned around and started following
him. It's an Airborne Express van.
It's an Airborne Express van. Airborne.
Yeah.
And so he's following him. So Jack...
It's a great touch. I love this whole scene, this whole interaction that they have, the whole... chasing kind of small cat and mouse that kind of builds and then later builds on to the highway with Kathy.
Yeah, so Jack basically is kind of diving. He dives in front of the van and the guy goes around the other side. When he goes over there and pulls out his silenced pistol, Jack runs back around him and kind of fights him. And then as they're fighting, I think it's somebody shoots him. I didn't realize. I thought it was a guard. One of the academy guards.
It
shoots him and basically saves Jack. And then the Jeep speeds by and he sees this woman with red hair driving it. So it looks like it's Annette again.
But again, this is not very, it's not gimmicky at all. It just kind of works because I don't think he's throwing in stuff. Like, he's not making, oh, the sound be silent and then, like, the sound get louder. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's not playing that way.
It's very simply
done. He's
playing
it very plainly, but playing it very close to the thrill of the bone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. So Jack gets up and he basically races to get into his car and get a hold of Kathy because he just knows she's in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on the phone following up on the car phone, following up on the operation. So she's basically tying up the line.
She wants to know what the Thompson boy's retinal scan
was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the operation, so she's concerned. She's a good doctor.
Yeah.
I
was just like, wow, the Thompson boy, sure.
And thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully we find out. I'm more interested in that at this point. No, the thrills are there. It keeps me engaged.
Yeah, the thrills of the Thompson boy's surgery follow-up.
Did he make it? Yes. But,
so she finally finds out he's okay. Jack, she hangs up and Jack can get through and asks where she was. Says something's happened and she needs to get off the interstate right now.
Right. At that time, like, Sean is, like, pulling up next to her.
They've managed to spot her in traffic and start going up behind her. And he's driving up the shoulder to get alongside. So she sees him right as he's there next to her, the gun trained on her. But, of course, they kind of hit a bump, and he jostles back.
Yeah,
and
a car kind of is trying to get around him.
Yeah, so it's that moment to go, oh, my gosh, like, you know, she was so close to just getting shot right then and there. So she takes off and is trying to get away. They fire, blow out the back windows and everything, and she's trying to get away from them but runs into, barricades on the end of the intersection, like
right.
Where everybody splits up. Yeah, so, yeah. Which is meant to take an impact and everything.
Right.
So,
but then he's like, did it, yes.
Yeah, so he just assumes,
like,
she's dead.
You're kind of a bad revenge guy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go back and go just to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they got to get away.
Yeah.
You can't be around for that.
But still.
So they get life flighted to the hospital. Turns out Kathy's fine. She has a concussion, and they mentioned that the baby is probably okay.
Fine.
They're going to do some tests, but the baby
should
be
Jack
fine.
Ryan.
What's that?
Little Jack Ryan. I'm just saying. It could be a boy or a girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Sally is in more serious condition. So they had to remove her spleen because of all the damage, and she's... she's out of it. Like, she hasn't woken up yet. So, she's in surgery. So, Harrison Ford is watching her on life support. And we get the single man tear.
Oh, the single man tear.
Especially from...
Well, didn't I? Because I paused it and I said, like, oh, my God. Like, that always gets me when, like, Harrison... Because Harrison Ford is always tough.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about how, like, he's kind of like this modern... Like John Wayne in a way,
but not like
embodies masculinity.
Yeah, but not like a caricature.
No,
like,
not a caricature.
Not like Clint Eastwood, where I think he's like, I'm like, yes, I get it, you're manly, whatever.
Yeah,
where he seems like he's overly gruff. Harrison Ford is just very plain, like, okay, do your own thing.
Yeah. And so it's like the tear. I'm like, oh my God, that gets me every time.
Yeah, single tear, and it just rolls down his face. Single man tear. So Patty O'Neill shows up to the hospital, and he's in the U.S. He shows up to the hospital and denounces the attacks on the Ryans, saying the IRA is not responsible for this. Meanwhile, Jack's watching him on the TV and sees them right outside.
Right.
Right then, the doctor busts in and tells Jack that Sally is okay. She needs some time to recover, but she's going to be fine. Robbie and his wife are there, and they celebrate with him and kind of, you know, are there helping him along. About that time, Patty O'Neill attempts to get FaceTime with Jack and kind of do his public relations for the IRA, and Jack is not having it. He just walks away from him. Jack goes to see Admiral Greer and Cantor because he wants back in. He's pissed. He wants back into the CIA because he wants to take care of this.
Wait, okay. What's her face in Harry Potter? What was her name? Professor
McGonagall?
McGonagall, yeah. So, like, he's missing a beard in this movie, but his beard, really, in Harry Potter was Professor McGonagall, don't you think?
McGonagall, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I wanted to do that joke, that's all. I wanted to do a beard joke, because Dumbledore is gay.
Yes. Confirm it for us!
Confirm it for us!
So, yes, he is. So, Jack seeing Admiral Greer and Cantor. Cantor says no, that he doesn't want Jack back in the CIA.
I'm just saying, because it's weird to see Richard Harris without a beard.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's been a while since I saw him without one.
Yeah.
But you can pretty much see it anytime you see. You can pretty much see it anytime you look at Jared Harris. So.
Jared, yeah, his son is Jared Harris, yeah.
I never knew that for the longest time, but then once you see it, you just can't unsee it.
Yeah, Jared Harris from Mad Men, Fringe.
Yep.
Some other things. I can't think of it. I've seen him.
The Sherlock Holmes reboot. He was Moriarty.
Was he Moriarty?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was awesome. Moriarty. He was awesome. Benjamin Button. He was in the
Yeah. So.
Cantor says no. Jack is too close to all this to let him back in the CIA and to investigate this. Greer comes out and basically overrides it and welcomes Jack back in. Rose, who is like an assistant for him and everything, she gives him all these files for him to comb through about the cell that attacked his family.
Right.
Meanwhile, while he's going through that, back in Belfast, the authorities are basically raiding all these IRA strongholds or these IRA like meeting places, taking them out. Because now that you start attacking the royals, they're going after him hard. It cuts back to Jack, who figures the raid was a setup, and starts realizing someone is pulling the strings. He remembers seeing a redhead in the Jeep that attacked him. And then going back to the original attack, he sees a redhead again. Then he realizes, as he's going through the intel, that it's connected with the death of Jimmy O'Riordan, who was the one of the IRA commanders.
You forgot that he figured all this out by accidentally going to the women's restroom?
He went to go splash some water on his face, and he's in a bathroom. I don't know who was in the wrong bathroom, but somebody was.
Oh, I'm going to... a little fun fact about this movie. This is the first time that they actually shot the CIA scenes in the CIA building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is the first time they actually did that.
It's very authentic looking.
Very authentic.
Yeah, that's wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
so maybe he got confused.
Probably. That was just like a real employee who's like, who the hell are all you people?
Why is there cameras in Harrison Ford in the bathroom?
But it looks good. Like, I'm glad they got that because it looks better than having some sort of like crazy looking thing. But he sees this redheaded lady in the bathroom who's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like, I think you're in the wrong room. He apologizes and walks out. But then he sees her red hair flip as he walks. She turns the corner, and he realizes he's seen a redhead at two incidents, and then it's tied to the death of Jimmy O'Riordan. And then they see a picture of this redhead, of Annette with the wig, at the like in a picture with Kevin O'Donnell. So he connects everything and says...
This kind of part of the plot stretches a little bit for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I don't, you know.
Yeah.
He saw her that fast, like he can just kind of... I mean, they even mention that in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure that this is the woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but he always says he's not sure.
Yeah, that's true. He does say that.
So he's like, hey, I think if we can find this lady, we can find O'Donnell. So O'Donnell's cuts to O'Donnell's men, who now have, after thinking they've killed Ryan and his family, that they go to Northern Africa to train in the desert. So Sean learns when he gets there that the Ryans actually lived. He didn't kill them.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan's fine. Kathy and Sally are fine. So Sean wants to go back. O'Donnell says, nope, their plan is already working. We can't jeopardize this. His plan is that now that they've pulled off these attacks on the Royals, that they'll take apart the IRA. And then once the IRA is dismantled, all that will be left will be O'Donnell's extremist faction. Sean calls Jack, starts crank calling Jack, calls him in the middle of the night, and talks shit, basically saying that, you know, like, well, hey, Sally won't be able to fight off infection anymore because she has no spleen. And just generally bothering him and threatening his family.
Oh, that wasn't a prank call? Well, I totally thought that was a prank call.
It was just very coincidental. It sounded like Sean Bean.
Yeah, it was an Irish prank call.
Yeah.
Those happen every Tuesday.
Yeah, they're scary. Kathy says, you know, he'll never leave us alone, and asks him to kill Sean. Just kill him. Just finish him off. Jack manages to find Patty O'Neill in this pub, so he brings Robbie with him. They go to this Irish pub.
Yeah, it looked like the set of Once. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
There's like all these Irish singers, and yeah. It was very Once. Bringing up pianos.
Stop sending our pianos. So they he asks Patty O'Neill to give Kevin O'Donnell up.
These are so many
after
Irish
killing
names.
Jimmy O'Rear.
Jimmy O'Rear. It's just all these Irish names that you keep saying. I'm just trying to keep them all.
Yep. So he asks O'Neill to give O'Donnell up. After killing O'Rear.
But O'Hare. O'Hare won't do it.
And he says, look, I know the IRA wasn't responsible, so just help us. And O'Neill says, no, he won't give them up. He won't betray a fellow Irishman. So he says no. In the meantime, O'Donnell's group continues training. Whoever is one of the insurgents who's training them says, uh-oh, get inside. The satellite's coming overhead.
Yeah.
So they run back inside before the satellites can see them because they know when they're coming, they can stay off of camera, basically.
Which is smart.
Yeah, which is smart. But, of course, Sean Bean lingers around a little too long. Going crazy, shooting the targets because he's delving. At this point, he sees crumbling into madness.
I feel like that's just Sean Bean. Like, anyway, like if you invite him over to a party, he'll just linger a little too much.
He's just very intense.
Like, just go home. We're all out of dip, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean dip.
That wrote itself.
Jack wants to see what's going on in these camps that he's seeing on satellite. Because he figures where they probably are by tracking freighters and realizes that's probably where they are. And so he wants to see who's in those camps. So he's already on to them.
Oh, he is.
And so
he's like, yeah, he is. I mean, this is a very chess game where they're playing, which is really good.
Yeah, because as smart as they are, he's also smart.
Yeah,
so
he's
on
top of
each other. Yeah. So he basically says, well, what if we redirect the satellites so we can see there off schedule, because obviously they're avoiding everything. So when they get the images back, he sees what looks like a Caucasian woman, and he thinks it might be that girl. And, of course, the Admiral Greer says, are you sure? I mean, are you sure this is her? It could be the site. And he says, well, he isn't 100%. If it's her or not, so he's going to keep trying.
Right.
Jack goes back to the hospital, and he's there when Sally wakes up. So she wakes up for the first time and asks him to read to her.
Yeah, it's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat, yeah.
Yeah, so he reads Cat in the Hat to her. And it's kind of got this nice scene where he's still reading. You hear him reading, but he's sitting in the cafeteria.
It's cross-cutting.
Yeah. And Patty O'Neill walks in and sets a present down in front of him.
Now, I heard that in the movie The Sum of All Fears, they have a cross-cut scene just like this, but someone is reading The Lorax. Okay, no, that's not true.
But no, I do like this scene. I like the little cross cut kind of, yeah, you know, fun scene with
Dr. Seuss. It was good. And so Patty O'Neill's in this package. It contains
clear and present danger has one fish, two fish, red fish.
That is true. They do that one. And Harrison Ford's doing it while he's punching somebody. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
The single man
and then one man tier. this package has a doll for his daughter, for Ryan's daughter, and an intel on Annette. Turns out Annette is British. Jack wants to go after her, but Cantor says, we don't know if it's good intel. But Jack says, no, look, I know what I've seen. This is her. Convinces him that Patty O'Neill is doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So then we come back to the British crackdown of the IRA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the used bookseller is in his store, and this lamp just kind of shorts out. The place is there since 1917. The electricity, the wiring is old. So it, like, burns out, starts smoking, and that's the first time we see they actually have a camera.
Yeah, they have a camera, like, right hidden in that light.
The light to look down at them.
Like, oh, crap.
Yeah, so they were like, uh-oh, what is all this? Well, they call an electrician who pulls all of it apart and goes, hey, what do you think this is? And pulls the camera down. And, of course, the bookseller's like, I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. While he's, like, getting his hat.
Well, I gotta go.
Yeah, getting his hat and coat and a bunch of books.
I got my Panama Jack hat and coat, and I'm ready to go out. He looked like Panama Jack.
Yeah, he did look like Panama Jack. And so he basically escapes. They chase after him. But he manages to escape by giving his hat to this girl who's wearing a trench coat.
Yeah, I think it was Carmen Sandiego.
It was probably Carmen Sandiego. The
founder.
She was with Waldo. And gives her the hat, and escapes on the train. So, in the meantime, Lord Holmes is planning his trip to America, and he wants to visit Jack Ryan while he's there. Sir John while he's there.
Sir John.
He tells his assistant to schedule it. The assistant goes to the phone and gets a coded call from the bookseller, letting him know something's up. And this is a point that we know the assistant is the mole, so he's the one who's been in on this.
Plus, he has a mole like on his face. I saw.
Well, yeah, it's the big hint.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. And, it's very British. It has its own sense of humor.
It does.
That's how British it is.
I wrote, as soon as I saw that, I wrote, the Brit is in on it. Don't know why.
I don't know why either.
So
I knew it.
I knew it. Actually, I thought it was the guy next to him because he says, what about
the 14th?
What about the 14th? And he goes, ugh. Does this like kind of weird, like sketchy face. So I thought maybe he was in on it.
Yeah, you immediately thought it was the guy that had two lines in the movie. Come on.
He could have been.
Okay.
He was high ranking or something. I don't know. So the assistant instead says, hey, the Ryans are busy. Why don't we all do this together in their home? So now he's got the Ryans and Lord Holmes all in one place.
This should kind of raise red flags, but it doesn't.
I think it's you trust your assistant.
Yeah, that's true. But you know,
you don't think anything bad's going to happen. You silence.
I think
whoever.
Intel would tell you that Sean's still alive. Probably out. Well, no, because you're right. They have that attack that we haven't got to yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Back in Northern Africa, the O'Donnell's group is going through intel, so they're actually planning on attacking Holmes. And they said, hey, look, he's going to be at the Ryan house now, so this will be our best attempt. So they're going to kidnap him and ransom him off. That's what their plan is. They don't want him dead.
Right, they don't want him dead.
Yeah, they want to ransom him.
Sean wants Ryan dead.
Yeah.
They just want the royal.
And Sean will do that at any cost. And so O'Donnell has to keep reeling him back in and say, stick with the plan. In the meantime, it's kind of this nice parallel scene. Jack is going through his intel. And he sees in this image from the satellite what looks like the bookseller, kind of his bald head and whatever, like on the the satellite imagery. Yeah. And so he goes, that's
his creepy mustache on the satellite.
He goes, well, come on, it can't be coincidence. The bookseller who we know is tied to it is there, and this Caucasian woman is there. It has to be. It's too much of a coincidence.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he says, I'm still not 100% sure that this is what it is. And this is the one part where I'm like, what? It was Admiral Greer goes, well,
how do you know?
He goes, well, nothing's 100% sure. And Jack goes, or he says, is anything 100% sure? Yeah. And he goes, a daughter's love. And I was like, that's really odd. Okay. I mean, always thinking about his daughter, but it was just an oddly delivered line for me.
I say 96%, not 100 on that one.
Yeah. You never know.
Sounds about fair.
So back in Africa, the bookseller says he wants to fight. They took all my books from me, and I want to go with you.
Yeah, I want to trade my books for guns. Yeah.
And so they say no. You don't even know how to fight or handle a gun. You're not trained.
The Pringles guy, right?
Yeah, Pringles guy. You don't know how to do any of this. You're not trained. And he says, I can do it. I can handle a gun. And so they throw the gun to him.
Yeah.
And of course he can't get it to go off.
Right, because he's a bookseller.
Yeah. And so they give it back to him. And Sean Bean takes the safety off and kind of fires at the ground around his feet.
Oh.
And O'Donnell says, sorry, you're not going to be going with us. And he walks away. And then Sean Bean kills him.
Yeah, once you pop, you can't stop. I mean, we know that. That's a slogan.
That's where they got that.
That's
from
their slogan for IRA.
Yeah, that's where they got
that. Once you pop, you can't stop. Also Pringles.
The IRA first, though.
Yeah, the Pringles Corporation stole that.
The Pringles is just inflammatory.
Who would have thought we'd be talking about Pringles in the Patriot games?
I did.
Yeah, well, me too.
I knew it was coming. The team, so basically they order this strike, and they're watching from the satellite, and you see the team come in and just basically kill everybody. They run out, and then they bomb the hell out of the location. So the team is just watching.
So this
watching.
Has to be it, right? I mean, we killed everyone. I mean,
yeah,
we got
right. End of movie.
End of movie. Patriot
so
games,
the team is watching the strike on the satellite in the infrared, and Jack is just kind of disgusted by how casual they are about it, and he's thinking about, like, did I do the right thing? So he's kind of struggling with this decision. He comes home. He comes home with Kathy, and they bring Sally home from the hospital for the first time. Also, they're going to be setting up for their dinner party with Lord Holmes. So there's like a contingent of security, and Robbie is there and everything.
Yeah, this seems perfectly fine.
Yeah. So while they are all having their dinner party, their well-secured dinner party, a storm rolls in. So Cantor calls and says, hey, they identified the body of the bookseller at the site.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a while to identify everybody else.
The dentals are going to take about 48 hours or whatever.
Yeah. While he's talking to them and they're having their little dinner party, the Lord's assistant says, well, hey, I just heard something in the basement. And the security guard goes, oh, yeah, well, let me check it real quick. So he draws his weapon and goes to check downstairs. Well, the assistant pulls out his silenced pistol and shoots him. So, meanwhile, the power goes out while Jack is on the phone, and he, you know, is looking out the window, and he realizes the lights are still on.
Like at the boathouse?
At the boathouse. Yeah. And so if it was out all over, the boathouse would be out too, which means the power just had to have been shut off within the home.
Right. Jack Ryan, not only a great CIA agent, but also a connoisseur of electricity, a knowledge of how electricity works.
And he did. He like knew like the power. Yeah. Power from here flows from the street. If the grid was, and it was like he was all over that.
Yeah.
Well, he asked me. That's part of his job. You got to know.
Oh,
those
he's
things.
An analyst for the CIA, right?
You got to know those kind of things, though. Like it's how your best infiltration points and how the power
that's
flows
true.
Places.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Makes sense. He thinks
this
about that kind
scene,
of stuff.
This whole scene, by the way, again, could have been a gimmick. But
it could have
works
been.
Very well.
Yeah.
With the blackout, with like the
the goggles that they wear.
Yeah, well, so he goes, Jack realizes that something's wrong, so he grabs Robbie, and they kind of check throughout the house, and he finds their walkie-talkies on the table, but no guards, so he starts calling and realizes nobody's answering, and he kind of sees they're all, we see they're all dead outside.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's sniping them all. And so he tells Robbie and everybody to, or no, he sees the assistant come out first, and so he starts beating up the assistant and drags him downstairs to where the fuses are, and it's like, you know, what is going on? And he's like, tell me, are they coming here? What's going, you know, tell me what's happening. And he realizes they're probably there. So he has to go, and he tells everybody to get in the basement.
Yeah, it's not like a home invasion.
Yeah.
Very, very well done.
Yeah, so everybody gets downstairs, and Robbie is watching them. And then Sally and Kathy are upstairs and hadn't had a chance to go downstairs yet. When the IRA busts in. So O'Donnell's faction of the IRA busts in. So O'Donnell and his people are moving around, but they have night vision on. So they have advantage in this. So Annette goes after Sally and Kathy first upstairs. Kathy takes Sally, goes and finds to get the shotgun, but can't find where the shells are. Jack has kept them somewhere else. Annette comes in there, and since she doesn't have any bullets, Kathy just beats the crap out of her with the butt of the shotgun. Jack shows up and puts them up in the says, hey, everybody up in the attic, let's go.
Yeah.
So they get up in the attic. In the meantime, one or the other, I think it's Sean, realizes, Sean or Kevin, they're all masked at this point, realizes something else is going on up there. He goes up, finds the knocked out Annette, and realizes they probably went through the attic. So he starts firing on them. They escape through a window and head to the ground floor, where they go into the basement with Robbie and to the cellar.
Right.
So they're safe down there at the moment. O'Donnell and Sean start heading to the basement. And when they start getting down there, I think it's because the assistant screams for them.
Yeah, he screams something.
He screams Kevin. So Kevin and Sean start heading down. Mm-hmm. When they get down there, they flip on the lights, which of course blinds them in their night vision. Mm-hmm. They run, and as they're doing that, we cut to Cantor has realized something's wrong. They can't get a hold of anybody. So he sends a strike team on a helicopter to go rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on top of that. Because, and I think I like that too, because as much as you always get that like gruff kind of contrarian kind of character who's all about bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have one of those, but he's still doing the right thing. Like Cantor's like, oh crap, I'm going to save them.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, well, let me get through, see if I can get this authorized. He's like, guys, go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that he's, you can still tell he's a good guy.
Yeah, you can. That's true.
Jack, basically everybody escapes out of the basement. Of course, as they do that, O'Donnell fires and kills the assistant. They get down, and you see that the boats are heading away. Like, they're basically speeding off or starting to take off. So they start firing, or Sean starts firing at them, and Kevin tells him, hey, stop. We need him alive. Do not kill the Royal. We need him. And so they chase off after the boats. They get down there. One of them has sped away, and the other one they managed to get to and then chase after.
I'm real impressed by this whole, like,
oh, the sequence is good.
Yeah. It's very thrilling, very action-backed, very on my seat. Again, I cannot stress how, like, you watch these movies, and they almost become a gimmick because we've seen all of it before. But this doesn't. It just is kind of like, you're not like, less is more.
Yes.
Like, that's how I feel like this movie is, especially with the action sequences.
Exactly.
Especially with this one coming up with the boats.
Oh, my God. This is probably one of my favorite action sequences of anything that I can remember.
I think
recently.
So. I think this really saves, I mean, not that the movie's bad, but it really is probably the best part of
Oh, it's a perfect climax for this. So as the boats speed away, we see the party guests coming around the side of the cliff. Like, they hid, and Jack is leading them away.
Right.
So as they're chasing them, O'Donnell realizes that Jack's alone on the other boat. And he's like, no, we have to turn back. The Royals are back here. Don't fall for this. And Sean says, no, you know, we have to do this. And O'Donnell says, we need to stick to the mission. And Sean goes, this is my mission, and kills O'Donnell.
Right. He's been obsessed with this.
Yeah. It's perfect. Like, his obsession is great.
Yeah, his obsession isn't, like, a thing that, like overshadows the character. It's something that, like, you can see it slowly kind of, yeah. You know.
And you can tell, like, I love that, like, you can tell he hasn't slept and he hasn't whatever, because his eyes are super dark.
Oh, no, that's just Sean Bean.
But you can tell, like, they've made it up so he looks like he's losing it. Right. He's lost his sleep. He's losing his sanity.
Mm-hmm.
I even think they make him look, like, thinner than he was earlier, too.
Yeah,
like,
kind of.
Like, he's not eating. Like, he's
kind of
losing, getting gaunt.
Yeah.
And so they said, hey, don't lose sight. Our mission is this. He kills O'Donnell. And Annette draws a gun on him and says, you're a crazy man. Like, what is wrong with you? And so he kills Annette also and takes over the boat to chase Jack.
It's very not cartoonish.
No.
Where it could be with, like, a different actor.
Yeah. And it wasn't like they didn't dwell on the death so much or make it, like, overly dramatic. It was like a, oh, shit, kind of moment. And then they move on.
Yeah.
So Sean is shooting at Jack. And, of course, it starts Jack's boat on fire. So Jack is trying to, he ties a rope to the wheel to keep it straight while he's trying to put the fire out. And of course, Sean is still firing at him. So they're chasing each other. And when they get close enough, Sean jumps on board his
boat.
Even
that doesn't look gimmicky to me.
No.
And it's not, I mean, it's very not special effects, very practical.
Oh, yeah.
Very well done.
So this scene is, and just to set it up for everybody, if you have not seen this scene before, well shot. It's beautiful. So it's the middle of the night in the pouring rain because of a storm, speeding on the ocean in this boat.
And somehow the flames are just beautiful.
But the back of it is on fire. Right? And so it's like this little torch in the night. But you can still see the rain.
You know,
it
like flames kind of have, you can see the blue in flames.
Yeah.
That's how it like looked. It,
yeah.
Like a bluish orange kind of thing.
Yeah, it did.
It was so beautiful, but like in a very... You know, fast action.
But it wasn't like they, like now they would have it. It would be so overly cheesy and like
very cheesy.
Blurry and shots all over the place.
Yeah.
It was like captivating.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. So if you haven't seen this, make sure you do see it. If nothing else, just so you can make it to that part. So great fight coming up too between Sean and Jack.
That is a good fight. Yeah.
So. It's very physical. It's not overly comical or like overly cheesy. It's not like Mission Impossible 2 fight where they're doing, you know, where they're doing like acrobatics and shit like that.
Yeah, this is so opposite of Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, it's just like two guys.
This is what Mission Impossible 2
should be. Yeah, fighting.
Yeah.
And
I think we even call this kind of like this was 24 before 24.
Oh, yeah.
Was 24, so.
And so Sean has the upper hand. So. Sean attacks Jack with this anchor.
Yeah.
So, like, the anchor has, like, the points on the end of it. So he's fighting him with this thing. And, of course, ends up, Jack knocks it out of his hand, so it's laying on the ground. They have a hook for the boat that they're both fighting with. And so Sean has that basically pressed up against Jack's throat.
Yeah.
And Jack manages to overpower him. And shoves him back. And as they both go falling, Sean lands on the anchor, on the points of the anchor. So now he's just gotten skewered with that. So, which I thought was a pretty cool ending for him.
Oh, yeah. Like, the villain should go out in a way.
Yeah.
But, like, again, this works just so simple.
But again,
but
it was not
but effective.
It wasn't like over. I didn't think it was overly dramatic.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
but. So Jack immediately goes to try to regain control of the boat because he's had it tied up and all this. And as he's looking, he realizes they are heading right for these rocks. So he abandons ship, jumps overboard. The boat hits, and it explodes. So the helicopter sees him. The helicopter is coming to rescue them, sees the explosion, and decides to head that way to investigate. So they go and save him. We see them all together then. The Ryans are all kind of wrapped up in a blanket together, but safe on the couch in their home while people are kind of searching, making, taking pictures of everything. Then we cut back to the Ryans now, going back to like how the first scene of them in their kitchens, just normal life.
Yeah, normal life.
And so they're talking and they get a phone call and it's a doctor and they're talking. They did a checkup on Kathy to make sure the baby was okay. The baby was fine. And they asked if they wanted to know the sex of the baby because we see there's like a list of possible boys and girls names on the fridge. Mm-hmm. They said, do you want to know the gender? And they debate for a while whether they want to do that or not. And then they finally decide yes. And she says, yep, okay, let's hear it. And right before we find out, end of movie. The movie ends.
Yeah, that part I'm kind of like.
Well, that's what the...
That's like the only gimmick they
that's
have.
That's the cliffhanger for the third movie.
That's the
movie.
Cliffhanger. You'll find out. And
the next movie one. Starts out with, it's a boy!
It's a boy!
I can't even remember what it was. No. But
It could be a boy. It could be a girl. Who knows? But but honestly, I don't think we need to know.
No, we don't.
So, yeah.
So, you've been deuced.
You've been deuced with that one. That's awesome. I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a good one. That's what we thought about it, but let's hear what other people thought of it.
Yeah, let's.
So we got CC the Movie Man dot one says 10 out of 10.
Nice.
A super thriller. This is an outstanding thriller, a movie I have always enjoyed watching since it came out. Apparently a number of people also did since a few sequels followed. Sean Bean was excellent as a revenge-obsessed villain, a member of the Splinter Group, as it's labeled, not really an IRA extremist, but one too out of control for any group. Ford is the man best able to stop him, and the film is very interesting start to finish, and smart enough not to overdo the violence. Suspenseful is probably the best word to describe the movie, as Bean goes after Ford's family. Ann Archer, as Ford's wife, along with the rest of the cast, actors such as Patrick Bergen, James Earl Jones, James Fox, Richard Harris, and the young Thora Birch, make this a well-acted movie. This is simply one of the best thrillers I've seen, and almost every scene is interesting. So how do you feel about that?
I think when we've come through with a lot of these, like the highs and lows and whatever... Yeah. I think I'm always like, that low is ridiculously low for what's happening. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's closer, but probably didn't deserve the 1 out of 10 or whatever. But even with like the 10 out of 10s, you got to also think, as much as I like some of the movies, does it really deserve a perfect 10 out of 10 or whatever?
I don't think it does.
No, but you know what? I would be closer to agreeing with the 10 out of 10 on this one than I would some others.
I'd give it
I think like a 9, 9.5 even. Like, I'm pretty solid
speaking
on this.
Speaking of 1 out of 10, this person gave it a 1 out of 10. It's from Digital Beach Bum. Mm. And Digital Beach Bum says, terrible movie filled with holes and flaws. One of Harrison Ford's worst movies, and I believe would have been better if they had continued with the character from Hunt for Red October, Alec Baldwin. It's the same character.
He was busy. Yeah, it is the same character.
Actually, he was busy doing Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
So he was doing that with Jessica Lange, maybe?
Yeah.
I think so. I saw this when it was released in 92 and walked out of the theater laughing. It had an interesting storyline, but going from book to movie is always difficult to transition. While there are some interesting action scenes, there's too much unbelievability to reverse the negativity of this movie. See, this I hate this. I hate his review. That's why. I found the script to be filled with plot holes. Several action scenes are impossible in real life, and the inaccuracies of the technical jargon or equipment are plot filler to amuse the ignorant viewer. 1 out of 10 stars because it could have been much better.
What was this person's name?
Digital Beach Bum.
So in case anybody's wondering, Tom Clancy's screen name is Digital Beach Bum.
Yeah, this movie so does not deserve to have anyone give it a 1 out of 10. In fact, it took me a while to find a 1 out of 10 review on the service that I look for these reviews.
But I'm sorry. Like, a lot of the technology they're showing, nothing there was unbelievable.
No, I don't think so
at all.
There
was night vision.
Yes.
There is those same satellite photography that can pick up what you're like, they can pick up words on shit that you're looking at. So there's nothing on here that is not believable. I don't know what they're talking
about. Last year, 2016. I really think it's someone that just wants to hate something.
Probably.
I think it's just kind of like...
How is that? That is so freaking ridiculous.
I think it is, too. When you read these reviews, because that other one was in 2006, and this is 10 years later.
Yeah.
And I think this movie still holds up. You know? This is 92? I think this movie is a fine movie.
Oh, yeah. I think it does. I think it holds up very well.
It's one of our better movies that we've done, so.
Well, I think so. All right. So we've heard what they've said. One of those being Tom Clancy.
Digital beach bum Tom Clancy. I'm at the beach.
So
typing my new crappy novel.
So what do you think was the best part?
For me personally, the thrills, the action sequences, the acting itself is fine. Like, the actors are fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like above their game. They're just right on target. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any one person that is acting better than even Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
This isn't his best performance, but it's by far not his worst performance. But I just think the action sequences, especially that boat scene at the end, is probably the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
And that's worth checking out alone. And just the cat and mouse that they have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And even Sean Bean is pretty good in the way that he... Again, this is a movie that very much isn't gimmicky, could have been gimmicky. I think the later Jack Ryan movies are gimmicky. And I think that this could have been the way it was, but I'm glad it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it.
Yeah. So I thought it was hard to come up with only one.
Yeah. This movie is full of.
I mean, really, the story is great. It's intricate, but good.
Mm-hmm.
The score was great.
Oh,
the
great
cast
score.
Is great. The acting was great. Visuals were great. Mm-hmm. But I think the best part, the kudos I'm going to give here is to Sean Bean. And because the whole thing was, if you take Sean Bean out of the equation, right, you just have your cat and mouse game.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would be a normal movie. It'd be a standard movie. You know, bad guy, good guy is chasing bad guy comes after good guy, back and forth. But Sean Bean is such a wild card, right? Like, you always expect you see a character who's like the badass crazy one, might be like in a hand-to-hand fight with them or something and ends, gets killed in some big like brawl, which he kind of does.
Or overacts in his villainness.
But so think about, like, the whole movie is Ryan chasing O'Donnell while O'Donnell is chasing like Ryan and the Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like back and forth. And through the whole movie, if you just think about Sean Bean, the whole movie, he's just growing crazier and crazier until he literally is the one who derails everything. He gets so big that he overtakes the plot. Like, he goes, you know what? Screw this. I'm getting my revenge.
So it's like,
and
screw the IRA. Screw the IRA faction that came out from that.
It's
just revenge for killing my
He destroys what the original plan was and overtakes that. And it's now his revenge. That's his central piece. Like, I think it's...
And becomes his flaw.
Yeah. And I think it's great watching it. Yeah. Like, I loved that. And
so
it wasn't
the... Would you
the
say,
whole
like, this is maybe the under, like, an underrated villain of movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. I think it's better than his other stuff. I think this is great. Because it's not like at the beginning we see it going and realize it's going to be a revenge thing the whole time, or it's like in those last moments when you realize how far he's gone that he'll take out his own team for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, oh shit, he's
something
greater than.
But I agree with you. I like
than
the fact that it's not overacting. It's not like he's laughing at the end because he's gone so crazy.
Yeah, no. You know? Or he's not like monologuing or whatever. he is excellent. I think the movie is great in general, but Sean Bean is excellent. Yeah. So, next question here. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
I say reboot. And I do it because I love these kind of stories. I love these cat and mouse stories. With the political climate nowadays, you probably could do something and have it relate very modernly.
Yeah.
And I actually say reboot with Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, as Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't make it like... You just cannot make it over the top.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. And sometimes he does, but sometimes he can pull it back too.
So, okay, so my thing is I would have continued, but I would have continued with that line of them. Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. That's the route I would have gone, right? As soon as you got to Sum of All Fears with Ben Affleck.
No, that's terrible.
Originally, I thought that was supposed to be part of it, and it was so bad. They were like, reboot. That was a reboot. And so that was then considered a reboot. And then they just did Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine.
There was no charisma with like Ben Affleck that you have with like a Jack Ryan should have.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be over the top, but he should have some sort of presence that is there that says, I'm going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think it didn't work with Ben Affleck.
Well, and
I think it could with Tom Hardy or someone like that.
Well, they tried with Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine.
Oh, yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and that also did not work out very
well.
Really?
I'm interested in that because I think Chris Pine, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it would be tough. That'd be tough.
You have to get the right person.
Yeah.
You have to get the right Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
You get a villain, I think a villain could be like a Michael Fassbender or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that. See, I would have liked to have seen the original series like proceed past the trilogy, past the Clear and Present Danger ones and keep the same thing. But when they started, like, it went to that age of where they were like, hey, now we got to get Ben Affleck, this young guy, and then let's got to make some flashy stuff happen. And, you know, it just... To me, I'm like, I think it passed where it needed to be.
You felt like they were trying to commercialize it too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too much.
I agree.
So, do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yeah, I think it does. I think there's parts of it that are dated, just like anything that's very topical.
Well, that doesn't mean it couldn't stand on its own.
Right, but I'm just saying that there's parts of it that are dated. I think it works still. I think it still holds up. I didn't really need anything from, like, I didn't ask you anything about Hunt for Red October. You didn't even know I didn't watch it. And I followed this fine and I enjoyed it. Would you?
Yeah, I think it stands on its own too because it's very independent from the other one. Like, it gets a brief mention early on, but even that, you don't like go into names. They don't have to show pictures from the first one.
Not really.
They just say...
Maybe they couldn't because it was Alec Baldwin and people would be like...
Well, but you would think they could have, like, Sean Connery and stuff like that.
That's true.
But they didn't go into... They didn't have to say the Red October. They didn't have to say whatever. They were just talking about Russia after whatever incident. So...
Yeah.
I think it very much stands on its own. So, does this want to make you... excuse me. Does this make you want to watch the first movie?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay.
There's a lot of times it doesn't make me want to watch the first one, but this one really does. I think I'm interested in just seeing how different people... Like James Bond.
Yeah.
How different people play James Bond.
Yeah.
I want to see how Alec Baldwin does with this character, because I bet he does it pretty well.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it, of course. But yeah, I could see Alec Baldwin doing this. Yeah, I really want to. Yeah.
And you know, even I would even be willing to, because I does make me want to watch the first one. Actually, it makes me want to get a set of the Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, and Clear and Present Danger.
Is Clear and Present Danger okay too? Have you seen that?
Yeah,
okay.
I like Clear and Present Danger. It's, to me, that was when it started getting, I think it was a little bit more commercialized than this one.
A little bit more political?
I thought so.
Okay.
I didn't care for it as much as this one, but it was still pretty good.
Okay.
But it makes me want to watch, like, to just get those in a box set or something and have them.
Mm-hmm.
But hell, I would even be willing to watch. I would be willing to watch some of All Fears again.
Don't do it.
I would.
No, well, don't do it.
But from your point, it's interesting to see how different people play
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So I would. I'd watch it again, and then I'd watch Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit one too.
I'm interested in the Chris Pine thing.
Yeah.
Just to see how you would do it.
Yeah.
And I guess I would. Yeah, you're right. I would watch. I'd struggle, but I would watch the Ben Affleck one. You know.
Yeah. I mean, for every. If you want to watch the Batman movies, you're going to have to see some Kilmer and some Clooney in there.
That's true.
Let's see. Okay. Describe your experience in two words.
I say authentic thrills.
Authentic thrills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent way to sum that up.
Yeah. I'm saluting.
You can't even see it. You can maybe you can hear it. You hear my hand moving past the
no.
Okay. No. And I summed it up with 24. So to me, like I look at 24, we were watching this and I'm like, ugh, like 24. I get 24
has cheesiness.
24 has to be stretched over all this time.
Right.
To me, this was 24 before 24 was even a thing.
Yeah.
I think they really stretched it out and like put more cheese and put more
in 24
gimmicks in 24.
You kind of have to.
Well, you have to. You have to stretch it over 24 hours. So you get
a cougar.
You get attacked by cougars sometimes.
Attacked by a cougar.
And
on a babysitting trip. Yeah,
yeah, it happens. But you know, but to me, this is like I'm like, man, this is what 24 is about. This is almost like the core of 24, and everything else is just kind of decoration after that.
Now, let me put that out. What about Keith Sutherland playing like a Jack Ryan? Or is that too? Designated Survivor and
yeah, well he I think he's great in there. I think he's got some good acting chops on that. But I think he could do like I don't think he would have a problem doing this. You know I don't know because I know he can emote.
Yeah. No. He's and there's scenes in 24 where he blows you away with his acting.
I think he could do Jack Ryan, but is it really too close to what he's already done? Like, would it just seem like he was? Yeah. What about a crossover with Jack Ryan and Jack Bauer?
No, too many Jacks. They wanted to do a crossover with the Die Hard movies and 24, called like 24 Live Another Day or something like that, and then it just turned into Die Another Day, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So no, well, like that's too many Jacks on screen. Too many Jacks.
Too many Jacks.
Yeah, you can't have that many Jacks. And maybe this was like kind of a basis of that. Maybe they did take these Jack Ryan stories and say, hey, how can we twist it and make a, like have a little bit of a muse for 24?
Yeah.
Perhaps it was.
Well,
so
but
who knows?
I think that it's done in the same vein as that. I don't think they were like, you know, get me something like Patriot Games. I think it was like... It's
24 episodes of Patriot Games.
Yeah, but think about it too. Like even in 24 has some cheesy moments, but it's also not as over the top as some movies could be anything like that.
That's true. There's some.
So, you know, I think 24 did it right if it's following in the vein of Patriot Games.
Tony Almeida, I salute you. All right. we say watch this movie. I say watch.
Yeah, please
say
do.
Watch it.
Please do
you
if
can
you
watch
haven't.
It. I think you can watch these movies in any order, but you can start with A Hunt for Red October, but I didn't, and I enjoyed it, and I want to watch Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Let's watch it in October, though. I don't want to watch it like any other month.
Just in October?
Yeah, not like the whole month of October. We'll watch
every day.
For 31 days.
So we can quote it.
October. No. Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed this episode. Episode 13. Where can you find us, Jeremy? And check out the other podcasts that we promote too. Those are wonderful.
Yeah.
Podcasts.
Well, you can find us on Podbean at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, or you can find us on Stitcher, on iTunes, Or
leave us a review on iTunes. If you're listening to us on iTunes, that helps.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Or on Google Play.
Just anywhere.
There too. And, of course, our Facebook
If you're at
group.
A sporting event, write us at a sporting event. I don't know what I'm saying.
the Deuce Podcast.
If you're at the CW.
Yeah.
You
know,
the CWS. So,
if you go to Facebook, look for the Deuce Podcast. Mm-hmm. Look us up there. Join the group. We love to have conversations with folks and talk about some of our podcasts.
What's coming up, Jeremy?
So the others in our Patriot series. So we have, let's see, we have...
Well, it's Independence Day coming up.
Yeah, Independence
Day. And a holiday, so why not do Independence Day 2?
Yeah, the second Independence Day.
So this is going to be our most modern movie that we're probably
doing. It will
doing.
Be, yeah. This
so
is fairly modern.
I'm actually excited about how crappy this movie is.
I know.
I really am.
So there's a gentleman who I worked with who was very excited. Like, Independence Day was one of his favorite movies when he was younger, and so he was so excited to see it in theaters to the point where we were talking, and he's like, you know what? I'm taking the day off. And so he took the day off because he wanted to go see it.
Is he the second one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw him at work that following Monday, he was just like, no. It was like,
so I'm excited.
I'm sorry.
To know why that guy suffered.
Yeah, so I'm interested.
Legally Blonde, the second
and then
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
Red, White, and Blonde. I think Independence Day 2 has a subtitle 2 or whatever. I think
why
it's
God,
called
why?
Shit.
Independence Day 2. Why, God, why?
You like the first one. That's all. All right. You've been deuced, so thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
And remember, the sequel is king.
Oh, you did it this time.